It's been fascinating watching David. He's been rushing around talking to everybody in the media, and rushing around after him have been the fans, people from the old days and the new fans. Are you surprised at seeing old and new faces?
Shocked. Shocked and delighted. I'm thrilled, and I am a little bit in shock that it just happened so quickly, and that there are a lot of new fans, there are a lot of young fans, and I make records not for short people or tall people or fat people or skinny people or old people or young people. I make records, I hope, that will reach everybody. I think as an artist, I mean, we'd all like to have an audience that was that broad. I want to reach people. I love communicating, and I love bringing a little light into people's lives. I missed that. But I have to also be honest with you and tell you that there was a little voice in the back of my head saying, what if they don't care? So, in answer to your question, it really is a great compliment to me, I guess is what I'm saying, and I'm very flattered by it.
The last I really heard of you before this enormous success you're having was on Broadway, doing a long run. Now, that's acting. What was the show?
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Eight times a week. Remember that song? I started as an actor. I did a Broadway show right after I graduated from high school. And that was my first professional job. And I worked in the theater as a young lad. And I enjoyed getting back to that. When I decided to come back into the business, I really needed to focus my attention on something that I felt like I could handle and I could have control over. And I thought, well, if I go back in and start at the beginning again, this is where it started for me. This is how it began. I think I can take one little step at a time. Mm.
6 months on Broadway, and then an association with Alan Tarney, because it's worth talking on this tape, I think, about the fact that it's not just a single.
No, it's not just a single. It's one of 10 sides on the new album, which will be out in the spring.
Which you will not let me hear.
Which I will not let anybody hear. You know, my mother can't hear it.
Are there any old songs on it, or is it all original stuff?
It is all original stuff.
By whom?
Written by Alan Tarney and myself. Mm. And a little background on him that you probably know, which some of the people listening may not know, is that Alan wrote We Don't Talk Anymore for Cliff. He wrote Dreamin' for Cliff with Leo. He produced Leo Sayer. And I was a fan of his, and he was a fan of mine. And we got together about, 14 months ago, I guess, when I came here after being in New York and doing the Broadway show. I flew over, and the first day that we got together and decided that we wanted to work, I walked into the studio, and he was playing this little ditty. It was The Last Kiss. So we wrote that in one day, the first day we got together. And it's great to have an association with somebody that has come out of mutual respect. Mm-hmm. I think we both have arrived at a place where we see each other being good for one another.
Which means you're turning into a singer-songwriter, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That's an interesting one, because I think that there are very few people now who are just thought of as singers. And what has happened in the business is that the singer has been unable to survive because of the success of the singer-songwriters from the 1970s. In order to survive today, you just can't. The days of Goffin and King and Man and Weill, and they're gone. You can't find. I called up a few of my friends who are very good songwriters. I called Michael McDonald, who's an old friend of mine.
Not doing badly either, is he?
Michael's been doing great. I called up Jimmy Webb. I called up George Michael. And I got a very positive response from all of them.
What did you ask them?
Amongst others. I said, look, I need a song that is me. I need a smash song. Mm. But I need a song that is me, not just a record. And George initially responded with, oh, God, I'd love to do it. But meanwhile, when you're in the midst of a career like Wham and his own solo career, you have to be realistic about it. Nobody is that prolific and is going to write that many hits. They are pals of mine. I think I can say that.
They're not listening, so be honest.
They're not listening. They're actually rubbish. No, they're really swell.
I was talking to Elton John the other day, who was raving about George Michael. Hmm. And a lot of people, of course, dismissed Wham as being the wimpy band and all the rest of it.
Right.
And he was saying that in 20 years' time, George Michael will still be churning out great songs. How do you feel about that?
I concur completely. It's interesting that we should be having this chat, because George, as you probably know, is a friend of mine, but as you may not know, George is singing on The Last Kiss.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's singing the background parts. He's singing the answer parts.
So you think he's pretty good?
I think he's very good, and I completely agree with Elton. Talent will survive. If it's the 50s, it's the 60s, if it's the 70s, if the 80s, the 90s, whatever it is, the reason Tina Turner is back is because she was great in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and she's great today. I think that people that are in the same position that I was, that George Michael is now, they constantly were slagged off as being terrible no-talents because they were attractive and because people liked to look at them and because girls screamed at them. And I've been in this business a few years now, and I knew that a time would come when people would look at my work and say, ah, listen to that. I never realized he could sing. I never realized. And I was always amazed when people would come up to me and say, you know what? You're pretty good. You mean I'm this famous and I'm actually pretty good, you know?
Since the last time you had massive hits, videos have come in.
Yes.
As a major influence, not only on record sales, but also on the way people see the artist. How about videos and you?
Well, I was one of the forerunners of the pop video. Every week I would go on and sing a song on a little television series that I did that all of America and eventually
the world
ended up seeing. So I understood the concept of making a video very well. I did my video here in the United Kingdom.
Ah, did you?
Yes.
Did you direct it?
I conceived it.
Because you have a wealth of experience, and I would have thought you'd enjoyed it.
I wanted to direct it, actually, but I thought, well, it's the first time I'm going to actually go back in and do this. Mm-hmm. Do I want the responsibility of doing it as well? I got a very good director to come in, and he did an absolutely magnificent job. Mm-hmm. He took the concept and did exactly what I wanted him to do.
You still got a sense of humor, because I remember you having quite a giggly sense of humor.
Absolutely none.
None at all. I don't believe that. Do you have time to have a laugh occasionally?
If I didn't have a sense of humor, I promise you I would not be here today. I wouldn't be alive.
Can we talk about you just for a few minutes? Because we've talked about what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. You're obviously very ambitious, mm-hmm. and always have been.
Not always.
No?
No. There was a time in the middle 1970s when I had no ambition at all.
Was that because you'd worked too hard?
Yes. Mm. It's because I was emotionally burned out. It's why I stopped.
Yeah.
I lost any kind of desire or edge or direction. So.
But here you are back in the UK now. You're working 24 hours a day, virtually. You're in the studio finishing mm-hmm. the album. You're working on new songs. You're also promoting very hard. You're everywhere. Do you enjoy it?
I love it.
Do you?
Oh.
So the ambition is back, is it?
Well, it's all back. I have the desire, and I feel like more focused now and more on purpose and knowing exactly what I want to do. Just waking up in the morning and really knowing what you want to do with your life mm-hmm. and what you want to do with your day is so important to me, because for such a long period of time, I didn't. I didn't have any direction. I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do. But now, it's 1985. Mm. And I feel younger today. I feel more inspired today. I feel like what I'm doing now, the work that I'm doing now, is satisfying me more than anything else I've ever done. And coming out of a dark period of time, which I look at those years being out of the business as being really a dark time for me, it's so great.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you.